Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Congratulations, 10 years. What an incredible accomplishment. I know your mama's proud of you, too.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. And we're going to keep celebrating, folks. I'm fair warning, full disclosure, we're going to keep celebrating. We're kind of proud of our 10th anniversary. Welcome back to the show. And Rick Lepsinger is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Richard Lepsinger is Managing Vice President of Wright Management Consultants. He's also the co-author of a number of books, including the new one I'm holding in my hand, fairly new, I should say, this year, I think, Flexible Leadership, the book that he wrote, he co-authored with Gary Uecker, and he's here to talk to us about how to get the most out of our people and maybe how to get for them to get the most out of us, too. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be here. Just quick, though, it's On Point Consulting now, not Wright Management.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you know what? I have that here in part of what I have, but I was reading from the book. That's old information.
A lot has changed since the last time.
There you go. On Point Consulting. What's that website, Rick?
It's www.onpointconsultingllc.com.
All right. On Point Consulting. OnPointConsultingLLC.com. I'm glad you're here, Rick, because you want to talk to us about 10 ways we can help our employees get it done every day. Now, that's a tall order, Rick.
Yeah, but it's not impossible. We did a little research to see, what really differentiated some of the top-performing companies from those that tend to be less successful.
Yep.
And one of the things we found is that they had what we're calling a culture of execution. They really had a culture that focused on getting things done, and it really was a key differentiator for top performing companies.
Now, culture—that's a word that we use here on the show, and every company has a culture, but I'm not sure every company recognizes that they have a culture, or even knows what their culture is. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. As a matter of fact, a lot of people consider culture one of those soft, sort of squishy concepts.
Yeah.
That's hard to get your hands around, but
that only big companies have.
Right, exactly right, and actually that's certainly not true, because no matter how big your company is, you have a culture. It's either one that you are shaping intentionally, driven by your both values and your beliefs about how work gets done and how business is conducted, or it's one that's evolving. It's shaping whether you're controlling it or directing it or not. But you can operationalize culture. You can make it concrete in terms of specific operating practices,
mm-hmm.
leader behavior, and systems and structure that support it.
But the effectiveness, the contribution that the culture makes depends on the leadership, doesn't it? Because I've seen businesses where the culture was very unhappy, I meant very strict and serious, and the company got a lot done. And I've seen it where it was strict and serious, and then they didn't get it done. And the opposite. And I've seen companies that seemed to have a lot more fun, and they laughed a lot. And some of them some companies like that got a lot done. Some didn't. It's the leadership, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think the point is that there's a lot of different cultures that can be highly effective, and the challenge is aligning your culture with your both business strategy and what you're trying to do or the nature of your work, and ensuring that leader behavior is consistent and supportive of that culture overall. Because it's really hard to separate leader behavior from the culture, because in fact, leader behavior drives culture to a great extent or reinforces it and communicates it.
And in a small business, it's typically the culture that has emanated from the founder.
Yeah.
In many cases, because day one, Rick, as you know, it was just us.
Yeah, right, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I've started two businesses myself. So the business reflects the tone, the style, the way in which the founder or the leader works with others and addresses others. If the mm-hmm. founder tends to be serious, but you know, or balances kind of work and play, but still knows how to get things done, then the organization takes that flavor and tenor. If the organization is hard driving and maybe even a little bit brusque, then the organization tends to take that tone and flavor as well.
You know, I've said for years when I was in the military that I could meet a private and visit with that person and have a pretty good idea what his or her commander was like.
That's exactly right. It's a great analogy. It's exactly right.
Yeah. So how do we take this culture of execution and make it happen?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. You know, one is when you try to break down what does a culture of execution look like, you're really talking about a few key components in terms of operating practices. You're talking about predictability, cooperation and coordination, precision and forethought, which implies planning, and you're talking about some notion of accountability and empowerment and continuous improvement. And with these as your key operating practices, the next question is to say, what are the leader behaviors that are required to make sure that those operating practices are realized? And there's a few key leader behaviors. One of them specifically has to do with operational planning and just making sure that plans are in place. It's surprising. I'm always surprised at how frequently people do not put plans in place.
Why do you think that is, Rick?
My sense of it is that they, because there's a lot going on and people believe that things are moving quickly, so there's no time to plan, or by the time they put the plan in place, it's already old. But the truth of it is, without the plan, it's hard to be able to adjust or react to changes.
So we got to learn how to plan quicker.
Well, I think it's plan more consistently, not so much quicker, but plan consistently. Make sure that your plans are well coordinated, especially if you have multiple initiatives going on, so you can know how to make adjustments in resource allocation or priorities. And without a clear plan, not only is it difficult to hold everything in your head, but it's also difficult to make sure everybody has a picture of what needs to be done and when it needs to be done and who needs to do it.
Right, absolutely. Well, and especially when as your business grows, when your business is small, one or two or three people, it's a little easier to get away with this. But once you get very big, you know, you got a few employees and some vendors out there who are doing some critical jobs. You got to have a plan, or you're going to run off the rails. It's 20 after. We're going to be right back with Rick Lepsinger. It's almost as hard to say as Blessing Game. He and I will be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, Jim. This is Beverly Inman Ebel, author of Talk Is Not Cheap at TalkListen.com. Congratulations on the 10th anniversary of the Small Business Advocate Show. Way to go, Jim. You did not stop at dreaming. You did it.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for hanging around with us. My websites are SmallBusinessAdvocate.com and AskJim.biz. The first one is where you can find our show. All the different ways you can stream, you can podcast, you can subscribe by RSS, you can read articles, thousands of those, thousands of archives, by the way, as well, of past interviews that we've done, and you can find our blog there, which we update every weekday. You can check out our newsletter and subscribe to it, which we'll send to you every Sunday in the afternoon, get you ready for the week ahead. And, of course, our knowledge base, AskJim.biz, is where you can find – you can get small business answers now. Go there, ask your question, and we'll give you some answers. Rick Lepsinger is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Richard Lepsinger is his company is called On Point Consulting, which is an organizational and leadership consulting firm, and that's On Point Consulting LLC.com. Is that right, Rick?
That's correct, Jim.
Can they find the book there? Flexible Leadership?
Yeah, the book's up there with some of the other publications. You can order it on either Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right. And the book is called Flexible Leadership. That's the new book that Rick's written, co-written with Gary Uecker. Okay, Rick, we're talking about some steps we need to take to make sure that our organization gets done what they want to. We were talking about a plan. Now, once we have the plan, let's just say that we got the plan going now. What's the next step?
Yeah, well, the plans do a couple of things for you. They clarify performance expectations, and they also help clarify roles. And I think those are two critical outputs of the plan. So in addition to that, related to implementation, I think there are two key things that leaders can do. One has to do with making sure that decisions are made kind of where the information is and involving people in decisions that affect them. This is critical for decision quality and for decision acceptance. Again, the larger the organization, the more critical this becomes. Mm-hmm. In the smaller organizations, you're really doing it to make sure there's a lot of ownership and that you're tapping into the, to the talents that your folks have.
Do we need to? Is this a mistake that some small business owners make? They don't involve the employees, the stakeholders, in the planning process. Is that a mistake?
To
not involve them in the planning process.
Oh yeah, I think it's useful. And there's a number of different ways to involve people. In other words, you can bring them a beginning idea and ask for their thoughts on what it's going to take to successfully achieve the outcome, especially if they're sort of close to the customer or really involved in the day to day or have a particular expertise. I think a lot of owners and a lot of managers of larger companies hesitate to do this because they're concerned that it'll kind of usurp their authority or power, or they'll come up with a plan that they're not going to like. So you don't have to say to people.
But the benefits are, number one, you got somebody helping you do the work. Number two, they're getting invested in the plan.
Exactly right. You want to create as much ownership over the plan as you have. And again, in a small company, the more people are invested in the outcome, the better it is. The second piece is around monitoring and being able to monitor both individual performance of people and also monitoring progress toward the plan's goals. The challenge here is that monitoring has a bad rap because in this age of coaching versus control, a lot of leaders are told to be more hands-off and empower people, which is actually very, very good advice. But in an age of empowerment, monitoring becomes that much more important because people are out there making decisions, taking risks, applying new skills, and someone needs to be watching and looking to make sure that things are on track.
Mm-hmm. What is it they say? You use what you measure, or
you get what you measure, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but people don't monitor partially because they're concerned it'll feel like micromanaging. But it doesn't have to be micromanaging, especially if you sit down with your employees and say, identify the milestones where you will sit down and check in. So you're not always hovering or over their shoulder, but you have agreed upon dates or periods of when you will get together to review progress.
Right, and sort of let them help you. Let them manage them. Can you let them manage themselves, and then report back to you? Is that something you can do?
Yeah, if they have the right skill level. Different people have different skill levels, but people who are competent, you can say, here's the task. You figure out how to do it, but let's check in three times. And here are the three times we'll check in. Just to, because sometimes people just like to talk about it. They need to update. They run into problems. And again, the smaller the firm, the more important it is to do that.
Rick, in your opinion, do we overestimate our employees' ability, or do we err on overestimating them, or do we err on underestimating them?
Yeah, I think it's not so much over underestimating. I think we don't do a good job of assessing. I think a lot of times we just don't do a job of getting an accurate read of their capability and their desire, and then we either underutilize or overutilize.
Right. So when they fail, it may not be that it's probably more our fault than it is their fault.
If we set them up, we should set them up for success.
Set them up for success.
Right.
Not for failure. Hey, Rick, thanks for being here. Good job today.
It was a pleasure. Thanks.
Rick Lepsinger, ladies and gentlemen, Lepsinger, the president of On Point Consulting and the co-author of Flexible Leadership. See you next time, Rick.
Thank you, Jim.
Quick break. Right back with Gerald Celente. Buckle your seatbelts. Gerald Celente is in the building.
In Sparity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.